So can we go back to the heyday of the harbour?
Well, it depends when the heyday was, because the heyday of the harbour, for different reasons, you know, 900s, there was a Danish settlement, 1200s, it was starting to be turned into a port by the Bishop of Ramsey. He wanted somewhere to export his animal fleeces and corn and different things, and he wanted somewhere to import all his building materials. So I'm talking about the Abbot of Ramsey in Cambridgeshire. Why is he
Cambridgeshire?
Yeah, why is he coming to North Norfolk?
Yeah.
In truth, because he wanted to really annoy the Bishop of Norwich. And that is a fact.
How do you know that?
Because we know that through our history. Okay. That there was a bit of a feud going on between the two, and he wanted to annoy him. So he thought, well, I'll come close to your patch. And he came to Wells, or this area, and he said, I want to build a harbour, and I want to build lots of different religious establishments. You've got Walsingham very close. Mm-hmm. You've got Binham. You've got North Creek. You've got lots of religious establishments around here. And he wanted to expand on what there was there and what is here in this part of North Norfolk. So he chose Wells. So he went to the king and could have asked for a royal charter for a harbour to be built at Wells. The charter was given, and that's how Wells as a harbour was built. So going back to that time.
But it wasn't built, isn't it a slightly different place?
Exactly, yes. It was built to the south side of the town. So today, where we have the church.
How far is that away?
It's only about a mile away, around the back of the town, but the water would have gone in a completely different direction. You've got to imagine, back in these times, Holcombe had a port as well. So they used to take ships up to Holcombe. They take ships round behind Wells to where the church is today, and they'd unload near the church. Mm. It wasn't until the 1700s when they started building the embankments, and a lot of the different lords decided they wanted to get more land for their stately homes, that they started to build the embankments, which then cut the town off from the old harbour, and the new harbour where we are today was, I wouldn't say built, it was already there, but it was built more in how it is you see it today.
Did they give much thought to the blocking off?
No, they didn't, because I don't personally think, if you read the records, it caused a lot of problems initially, because the tide used to come in and run all the way around to the east side of town, down the south side, and there was a lot of water used to come in. So if you imagine, it's a bit like having a bucket of water and filling that, then once the bucket of water is filled, it fills into a second bucket. Because you have this harbour around the back, and then you take one bucket away, you can't have so much water come in because it fills up quicker. So that's a simple way of saying it. It doesn't actually work like that, but that's a simple way of saying it. So they built all these embankments, and what that actually did is all that water, thousands and thousands of gallons, what went around the back of the town, no longer went around the back of the town. So when the tide used to go out, that didn't flush the harbour. So what actually started happening, the harbour started silting up, it started getting shallower and shallower. And there was a lot of controversy. And the Wells Harbour Commissioners of the day, in the mid-1700s, they took Sir John Turner, who was a Lord of Warham, to court, and said, what you have done has been to the detriment of the harbour, and you need to take your banks down. And they won the day, and then he appealed. So they went back to court again. And the second time, he won. So then the Harbour Commissioners appealed, and they went back for a third time. And Sir John Smeaton, who built the Eddystone Lighthouse, was the first man to be used as an expert witness. They brought his expertise along to represent them, not the commissioners, but to represent Sir John Turner, and he wasn't allowed to speak. They just read his evidence out, which was, they felt was unfair. And Wells Harbour Commissioners won the day again, so they said, you can knock the banks down. And we have in our records where a day was set aside and all the people came from the day, and a big hole was cut in the banks, and it says the water went back into the ancient part of the harbour, And there was a day of celebrations, massive celebrations. But for some unknown reason, about 17 years later, maybe a little bit more, they let him reform the bank. And by this time, Sir John Turner had died and all his land had been taken over by Cooks of Holkham.
Mm-hmm.
And Cook was on the board of Harbour Commissioners, and the Harbour Commissioners voted to let him rebuild the banks on the condition that he built a reservoir which would hold the same sum of water. So thousands of tons of water. And he said, let me rebuild the bank, let me have my farmland back, and I'll build you a reservoir, and when the tide goes out, once it's out, I'll open the reservoir and the harbour will be flushed out. So it was agreed. Now, you'd like to think they did it because, oh, he's going to have a nice big reservoir and it will help. But I think really, if you read in the records, it was more because Cook was very influential in the town. He was on the board of the commissioners, and I'm sure there was a few hand transactions under the table of money passing hands.
So he never had any intention of building
I think he probably might have done, but he never did build the reservoir. But the interesting thing is, to this day, looking in the records, if you look how much water is in certain places at the quayside and which way it flows, there's probably more water today than there's ever been. So I'm not quite sure where they felt it was silting up. I'm sure it was silting up somehow. But if you read the records, what's on the entrance, we have a bar at Wells Harbour, which is a big sandbar. So you have the North Sea, very, very deep, coming down all the way down from the North Pole, believe it or not.
Really?
Yes, yes. The North Norfolk coast here, Wells, it's exposed. If you went in a straight line from Wells and you went by boat up the North Sea, you wouldn't come to no land. There'd be land on your east side or on your left. And on your right, you'd just miss the Orkneys and the Shetlands and you'd hit the North Pole. So there's nothing between us and the North Pole, just seas. So why I'm saying that is the sea rolls all the way down the North Sea. And the first thing it hits is the North Norfolk coast. So it comes down very deep, then it starts shallowing up. Then at the entrance to Wells, there's a bar. And it's like a big sand spit. And it, what happens, the water rolls down and it throws all this sand up and it turns it into a bar. So, or sandbar. So if you take a measurement today of what water there is, a high water of the sandbar, is exactly the same as it was in the 17 and 1800s.
Gosh.
So, be truthful with you, in the harbour, there is no silt in it. It maintains its depth.
Right. And the sandbar, does that presents its own challenges for people getting in and out, but doesn't seem to put them off?
It does. If you come when it's really rough, you won't go through it, because it'll be like surfing through it. But people don't plan their voyages when it's rough. So if you know it's going to be a strong northerly wind, you won't be looking to come into Wells. If you know there's a strong easterly wind, you won't be looking to go into Lowestoft. So it's the same all around the country.
Forgive my ignorance as a townie, but a northerly wind, does that mean it's pushing towards the north or coming from the north? And if it's an easterly wind, it's coming
from the east, Siberia. So that's when you have an easterly wind, it's always very cold. Northerly winds, it's rough. Southwesterly winds, the predominant winds for probably the UK, but definitely for this area.
Right.
So they come all the way across the land, so they're not so scary and they're not so strong, because they come all the way across Cornwall, all the way up the country, and they're starting. But when they're northerly, they're the worst for us, because we're exposed. It's just the wind coming straight off the sea.
And can you circumnavigate? Can you go round this bar? Or have you?
Yes, you can. So that's a very good question. So at the end of the bar, there is a buoy called the Bar Buoy, funny enough. And when you come from the buoy outside, there's a big buoy outside Wells Harbour in the sea called the West Cardinal. And it's the Wells. It's just like a signpost on your roads telling you where to go. So you come to this buoy, then you take a course to the next buoy, which is the yellow buoy, the special buoy. So we take a course of 165 and we come from the big yellow buoy, well, West Cardinal buoy, to the small yellow buoy, which is on the end of the bar. Then from there you shape up and come down between the buoys, which are the markers, all the way down the channel. The bar buoy, if it's rough from the north, you can't go around it. because it's on the end of the bar. That means you'd have to go past, then turn slightly to go to the channel. It means that your boat is on the side of the waves. That's the most dangerous thing, because that will turn you over. So if it's rough, you have to go over the top of the bar. But 99% of the time, everybody uses the barring buoy, because they don't come in if it's rough.
Do you have to guide everybody over it?
We almost say everybody. Every visitor, if you've not been in before, we will guide them in. The fishing boats come and go as they please. But most people, if you come here for the first time, we find it's a lot easier for us to go out and show them the way in. Years ago, when I first started here, it was more about the ships and used to go out and bring the ships in. The ships stopped in the late 90s and we went over to leisure more. And since we've been leisure, yachts and visitors, we've been busier than ever in our history. So yes, we show Isis Mountain, 70% of the boats that come into Wells Harbour, we show them the way in. So we go out, we don't get on their boat anymore like we used to, we just turn our boat around and they follow us. The record I have so far is I had 27 yachts behind me on one particular time.
Gosh.
So I had so many boats visiting on this evening, I come in with a stream of these 20-some boats behind me.
So they wait until you're...
They wait, and no one comes into the harbour without calling on the radio and asking permission, because we have to know what type of keel they have. So I don't want to get complicated, but all boats have different types of keels. So that
that's
makes
the bottom
difference.
Bit, isn't it?
Exactly, it's the pole shape at the bottom. They also have a draft, which is how much water you need to float your boat in. So depending on them two things is when you come in. So what we normally do, we work 2 hours before high water to about an hour after high water. We know that's our window to get boats in and out. So mostly, and I say mostly, as soon as a boat gets about a mile from Wells, they will call the harbour. And everybody does the same thing. Everybody. First thing they'll say is, when can I come in? Even if the tide is out, when can I come in? And I just imagine they've been at sea for a day or 2 days or whatever. Some of the Dutchmen come. We have lots of Dutch and lots of Germans come here. After sailing across the North Sea, I just imagine you want to get in and get finished.
Mm.